With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
I'm going to try to challenge you that spiritual warfare is a subset of your sanctification, your everyday sanctification, not some exotic, extraordinary time when you've walked in a room in which someone is babbling incoherently and it must be a demon, but every day. In the evil age, in this present darkness, your warfare in Christ requires that you engage in spiritual warfare every day, every single day.
Welcome. And stay with us as Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today, Harry Reeder brings us part one of the message, Understanding the Necessity and Conduct of Spiritual Warfare in the Christian Life. Today, we begin a new series, Spiritual Warfare in Biblical Perspective, The Embattled Christian. When you mention spiritual warfare, some people might think of the remarkable encounter Jesus had casting out the legion of demons from a possessed man into a herd of swine. Others might think of movies like The Exorcist. But spiritual warfare does not consist of rare instances of direct conflict with the forces of darkness. Spiritual warfare is a subset of your everyday sanctification as a believer and an element of your Christian discipleship. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're focusing on verses 10 through 12. Here again is Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder with part one of the message, Understanding the Necessity and Conduct of Spiritual Warfare in the Christian Life.
Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I would propose that this will become, in this coming year, a very familiar text of Scripture to you. Hopefully, you will have great joy in knowing the content, the implications, and the applications of this marvelous, powerful, life-changing passage of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll begin reading in verse 10. This begins our series on spiritual warfare in biblical perspective. Let me go ahead and mention something to you. I like to recommend books when I start into a series. When John Newton was asked, if you could only have two books, one is the Bible, what would be the other book? John Newton said, there is absolutely no doubt. The other book, if I could only have two books to read for the rest of my life, it would be the Bible and this book, The Christian in Complete Armor. Now, for those of you who think perhaps I stay too long in a text of Scripture, this is actually a compilation of the sermons by William Gurnall on Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. This is an enormous blessing. Now, do not sit down to read it as you would a biography or a devotional. This one comes in bites, but it is so rich, so rich. He sets our mind and our heart to proper thinking and action concerning the biblical doctrine of spiritual warfare. Not some of the current exotic notions of spiritual warfare. But what does the Bible say about spiritual warfare? And I want us to get into it tonight. Tonight's an introduction and an overview. And then we're going to go into this in the coming weeks. But I do encourage you to get that wonderful. That's quite a recommendation from the wonderful preacher of the gospel, writer of hymns, John Newton. That would be the only book, if he had to only get one book, that would be the book that he would lay his hands on. So I would encourage you to get hold of it. I'll be giving you some other recommendations as we move through the series, but that would be the basic one. William Gurnall, The Christian in Complete Armor, the exposition of the text I'm about to read, Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. This is God's word. It's the truth. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. The grass withers, the flower fades, the word of our God abides forever. By his grace and mercy, may this his word be preached for you. I have a task that has become a self-imposed task because it has clearly become upon my heart in preparation for this series a God-imposed burden in the matter of a proper understanding of spiritual warfare. It's very interesting how this subject grabs attention today. We live about 60 or 70 years into the modernity of the age in which we have in the public square adopted naturalism, scientism, and many had predicted that religion in general, spirituality, and Christianity in particular, would become a non-issue because of the reign of reason, naturalism, scientism. Those things would render nonsensical the matters of religion in general and Christianity in particular. And certainly this matter of spiritual warfare would become a thing of the past relegated to myths. Yet, with the constant rise of scientism, naturalism, humanism, with that attempt to impose that world in life view has come an unbelievable interest in spiritual warfare. A drive into spirituality. Now, most of the time, highly misguided at best, perverted at worst. Channeling, crossing over, necromancy, the occult, all of those things have become of devastating interest in the lives of men and women today. And the church has become very interested in spiritual warfare. Therefore, in the church today, many books are written. Some lead us into a mechanistic view of spiritual warfare, of incantations, recitations that would, quote unquote, scare away the evil one. We've been led back into the medieval practices of the Roman church, using talismans, sprinklings, powders, waters, and icons, as if that would frighten off Satan. We find believers going in both of those directions, mechanistic formulas, and then also the use of superstitious relics. And those seem to be the one of the two ways that people are going. I really have a bigger burden than addressing what I think are both of those errors of superstitious view of spiritual warfare with icons and relics, or mechanistic recitations and incantations. I not only want to deal with those two things in spiritual warfare, I actually want you to see the commonplace existence of spiritual warfare in your life. You see, when I talk about spiritual warfare, immediately your mind, you might even come here tonight wondering, okay, he's going to teach me what to do when somebody sits up in the middle of the bed and their head spins around. Or when we think of spiritual warfare, we usually think of these extraordinary accounts of demon possession. I actually want to pull you away from that, not because I don't believe in demonic activity, and we'll deal with that. My goodness. After the Lord landed on the other side, he met two demon-possessed men. One of them had how many demons? Legion. That's 2,000. If Satan can devote 2,000 demons to that one man in the hinterlands of Israel, a whole Roman legion worth, if that could be done, my goodness, what would be available for someone of some significance? I do believe this matter of demonization must be addressed and understood. And what about the Christian in relationship to that? I'm not opposed to dealing with those things. But the fact is I want you, and I'm going to start tonight, I'm going to try to challenge you that spiritual warfare is a subset of your sanctification, your everyday sanctification. Not some exotic, extraordinary time when you've walked in a room in which someone is babbling incoherently and it must be a demon. But every day, in the evil age, in this present darkness, your warfare in Christ requires that you engage in spiritual warfare every day. Every single day. Spiritual warfare is truly a subset of the sanctification of a Christian. Let me put it another way, or maybe a way that we can understand it better. Spiritual warfare is an element of your discipleship, your everyday discipleship. Not some extraordinary thing for a few gifted people who will confront exotic moments in a closed room somewhere. It is an element in the life of every Christian every day. And that's how it must be understood. Satan loves for you to think of this as an exotic thing that only a few people will face in very difficult situations somewhere in another place or time. I want you to know that we are embattled Christians. There was a prayer from a particular Christian, a missionary in Central Africa that I brought back for you. I brought from my notes for you. Let me give you this basic prayer that he said. We pray for you in America with diligent intercessory prayer because here we know we are constantly in spiritual warfare. You in the West have been lulled to sleep and do not even think that you have an enemy. That is why we believe you are in greater danger than we are. You understand what he is saying? You see, when we think of spiritual warfare, we think, oh, maybe someplace in some dark corner of Africa, or maybe in one of these perverted cities of America, in some secluded place, there are these synagogues of Satan, these shamans and witchcrafts in various tribal areas, and that's where you need to know spiritual warfare. No. You must understand that those are the intensifications, those are the elevations of the issue in which darkness is reigning in such a way that there's not even common grace available, not even light that's restraining it. So it's going to its ultimate end. But you, no matter where you are as a Christian, are every day engaged in spiritual warfare. And yet the missionary is right. We don't even believe we have an enemy of our souls. We don't even believe we have an enemy of our soul, so we walk right up next to sin. We play frivolously with temptation. We neglect the guarding of our mind. We leave at home the sword. We leave at home the shield of faith. Because we don't even believe there's an enemy, much less his darts. Much less his snares. Much less his schemes. Now, if I was to ask you to believe you have an enemy, you would all say yes. But we have a confessional faith and then we have an operational faith. Operationally, we get up each day and live as if we have no enemy. Now, preliminary thought, let me quickly say, that does not mean you live in fear of Satan, but awareness of him. And that does not mean that you flee him. On the contrary, you're going to be called to be at battle with him, the embattled Christian. You are to resist him in the complete armor of God and with the divine weapons that God himself has fashioned for the tearing down of strongholds. Here is the thought to guide us through. Can I confess to you that most of the time I really try to, you know, these themes for series or text, I really try to get it down to a sentence with a subject and a verb and no more than two adjectives and two adverbs. I really work at that. But this one I didn't. This is a full Pauline sentence here for you, okay? I want you to take this because this will guide us in the coming weeks of what we're going to understand. First of all, that the Christian life is a war. It is not a search for prosperity in this world. It is a war. We need to learn to live as if we are at war. What's one of our problems right now with our quote-unquote war on terror? We've only got about 180,000 people acting like it's a war on terror. In World War II, we had a whole nation acting like we were at war. People were planting gardens so they could feed themselves and send food to troops. People were walking so the gas could be sent to the troops. I have a great desire that you and I will revolutionize our thinking from the notion that I am on a cruise ship to I am on a battleship. From the notion that I am on a trek to personal prosperity and affluence using Jesus as my magical genie for health, wealth, and wisdom into I am a soldier of the Lord in His army. And I have a war against sin, against evil, against all that would rise up against the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I have a particular way to fight this war. The world is my battlefield for the Lord. The Christian life is a war. The world is the battlefield. And although Christians are vulnerable, I want you to know something. You are vulnerable for two reasons. We're going to be studying this. You're vulnerable for two reasons. Number one, you are vulnerable because of your remaining sin in your life, because of your distractions. Now, by the way, when I'm saying to you, I'm meaning me too. This is the you for all of us. Our distractions, our remaining sin, make us vulnerable to the snares, the schemes, and the fiery darts of the evil one. The evil one throws a fiery dart with me, and I've got enough sin left within me that I've got this thing back in here called self-pity. It rises right up, and he's got me. Here comes the fiery dart for serving the Lord. The fiery dart comes, and I go over and die in a pile and have a pity party. And I am susceptible. I am vulnerable. That doesn't mean I should not deal with those vulnerabilities, but because of remaining sin, we're vulnerable. And secondly, because Satan is greater than us. Now, we understand the answer to that, and I know all of you are right. Well, but greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I understand that. But that won't be meaningful to you until you understand that Satan is greater than you. And if you understood that, and if we understood that, we wouldn't fall into these notions of us rebuking Satan. Even angels won't do that. The Lord rebuke you. So we need to understand that we are innately inferior to Satan, that is personally in and of ourselves. Our remaining sin makes us vulnerable. And we also need to realize that we are fighting against an adversary and all of his allies. Yet, in the midst of all of this, we believe and know this, that we will move confidently forward to serve the Lord in martial array as the Lord's army. And we will move out with the armor of God, which is complete. We will move out with the weapons of God, which are powerful. And we will move out with the cross of Christ, which is victorious. The cross is victorious. The armor is complete. Put on the whole armor of God. And the weapons of God are divinely fashioned to tear down the forces of the evil one. It is those things that will guide us as embattled Christians. Harry, when will my battle be over? When you go to be with him, or he comes and does away with the adversary once and for all. Now let's go. Let me just give you seven things briefly tonight that we will be returning to. Please do not expect full explanations on these, because we're going to be returning to them. But seven necessary foundational axioms. Now, let me just go ahead and tell you, I was not big in algebra or geometry. I took the minimum number of math courses that I could to get my degree. In fact, I actually chose my degree. One of the reasons is how much math I had to take. But I did learn that there's a thing called axioms, and to solve problems, you had to memorize the axioms. To deal with spiritual warfare, I want to give you seven axioms to begin with. Number one is this: we have an enemy. Just go ahead and put it down. We have an enemy. You and I have an enemy, and that enemy is Satan. We have an enemy who stands against us, and he stands against us because we are on a mission against him. You say, now, have you ever noticed in the strife of our age how a country will get an enemy and they'll attempt to buy them off or pretend like that they're not there? You can't buy Satan off. You can't say, well, now listen, Satan, I won't bother you. You don't bother me. Then he has bothered you, because he just put you on the sidelines in the war. If you follow Jesus Christ, you've been called to be a soldier of Christ. That means you have an enemy. That enemy is called Satan, the adversary. You have an enemy of your soul. He desires your destruction, and most of all, he desires the destruction of the kingdom of God. And he desires that no glory and honor ever go to the Lord God, but that it go to him instead. You have an enemy, and you have been commissioned to fight that enemy. That enemy is greater than you in and of yourself. That enemy now is occupying illegally territory that belongs to your Savior. You've been called to root him out. Your Savior has won the victory over him. But you've been called to root him out of the illegally occupied territory where he finds himself. Satan has illegal occupied territory in the United States, in all places of the world. Satan has illegally occupied territory in your family. Right now, he has occupied territory in your life. Right now, you and I have been called into battle against him. And we have an enemy. He is a defeated enemy, but still in his defeat, he is more powerful than us. Secondly, your enemy has an objective and a strategy. Your enemy has an objective and a strategy. His objective is to tear down anything and anyone that is raised up for Jesus Christ. He could care less if it's raised up for him, just as long as it's not raised up for Christ. So he'll be more than happy for Christian churches to exist if they abandon the word of God, the gospel, and the preeminence of Christ, because they are no longer Christian churches, even though they may have the name. They're dead. He delights not only in exotic darkness and its consequences of all kinds of evil and perversity. He loves to travel as an angel of light, moving around religion. He has an objective and a strategy. It's called deceit. It's called deception. It's called camouflage. It is called liar. He is a liar. He is a murderer. And he has a mission. And that mission is the death of all. He was a murderer from the beginning. His mission is death. His desire is disbelief of the Lord. and he is attempting to destroy anything and anyone and everything and everyone who would lift up the name of Jesus. That means I now stop here for an unnumbered takeaway. Pray for me. I now have the greatest hesitation, tell you of my greatest hesitation of this series. Because if there's anything that he wants to do is fly under the radar. In fact, if he can't fly under the radar, he would love for us just to think of spiritual warfare as a matter of getting someone who has the accoutrements and the icons to go fight this battle for us. Or that spiritual warfare is only this matter of these exotic representations of demon possession. He does not want us to know what he does and that this is a matter of our life every day and every moment that we've been called to. And therefore, I fully expect the attacks of the evil one. And pray for us. Other than exotic conferences on spiritual warfare, just dealing with spiritual warfare as a matter of pure discipleship in the life of every believer, not many churches will tackle it today. That puts us in the crosshairs. But I believe it is something that must be done to be faithful to the whole counsel of God. And we fear not, for the Lord our God is sufficient. His armor is complete. His spirit who dwells in us is greater than the evil one. And besides, we can't fight the war till we know the enemy and have been called to the battle.
Spiritual warfare does not consist of rare instances of direct conflict with the forces of darkness. Spiritual warfare is a subset of your everyday sanctification as a believer and an element of your Christian discipleship. If you would like to receive an audio copy of today's message by Harry, write and request Understanding the Necessity and Conduct of Spiritual Warfare in the Christian Life. That's a long title. Simply ask for message number 10091. Again, that's message number 10091. We do request a gift of $5 to underwrite the cost of today's CD. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. Email inperspective@briarwood.org. This is an extension of the teaching ministry of Pastor Harry Reeder. For additional video, audio, and written resources, download the Briarwood app. It's available free at your favorite app store. Simply type in Briarwood PCA. Again, go to your favorite app store and type in Briarwood PCA. Join us again next time as Harry Reeder takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.